morning.
Thank you all for joining us today here at Trinity or at home with Trinity. It's great to have you all at a place where God promises to meet you. And it's not necessarily in a building, but it is where his people gather together around his word and the ways he delivers us his grace, which is through his word. And we're going to celebrate communion a little bit later today. We have a baptism later this morning after this service. So God is moving. He's about changing lives and changing families and giving people hope, which is something we all need. And that's why we gather here, for God to keep kindling hope in our hearts, to refocus our eyes on him. That's our theme for our school year right now, but it's also our series theme we're doing right now, refocus. And continuing on in that theme, Pastor Justin's going to be preaching on the theme renewing today. We also have Allison Carr here. Our children's minister is going to have a children's message for us. And so whether you're a child or a person with a childlike faith, there's something for you from Allison today as well. Just two announcements real quick. We're trying to put something together for Halloween this year. We're taking steps to figure out what that looks like, but if you have an interest in doing something like Trunk or Treat, but something perhaps a little bit more on the social distancing or safer side, contact Allison Carr. She'd be happy to put you on board, put you on the team, and help people know Christ the Lord's love when they come here. Secondly, Christian Grandparenting 101 is something that's put together by Sue and Dave Sheldon, members in their own right, part of God's family here, something they want to do to encourage grandparents and parents and people here at Trinity and elsewhere to get that faith passed on to the next generation. Sometimes it skips generations, but it's parents and grandparents who pray for their kids and their grandkids. It can make a difference in kids' lives. So check out the information for that. Contact Dave and Sue for more information. And also, something we do, a rhythm we have here of following Jesus is being in his word. One way we do that is through a gathering together in worship. Another way we do that is joining a Bible study, gathering with a few other people to hear God's word shared and being able to explore that in conversation and study together. Another way we do that is through a devotional. There are lots of devotionals out there. We have one for Refocus that's available for you after worship today. If you haven't picked one up already for your family, go ahead and grab one of those. And as we think about all those things, let's think about the God who authors everything we do so that we may know that we are his family, we're forgiven, and that he is present. So let's let those truths from God focus our hearts and our minds as we lift up our voices. So I invite you to put your mask on, stand up, and lift up your hearts to praise God. seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let's confess our sins. Almighty God, you are our Emmanuel. You come among us because you love us and want to forgive all our sins. We confess to you that we have sinned by what we have thought, what we have said, and what we have done. You have shown us your love in Christ, yet we have failed to be an example to others of your love. For these and all our sins, we ask for your forgiveness in and through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Take heart. God is with us. God is with you. Christ shows God has not abandoned his people in their sin, but he comes to save us today as our Emmanuel, as a called and ordained servant of Christ. I announce the grace of God to you, and in the place and at the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing. Let's pray. Gracious God, as we worship you today, thank you for sending the Prince of Peace into a world filled with unrest and strife. Lord, quiet our restless hearts and instill in each of us the calm assurance that tells us you are in control, so we need not worry. Give us the tools we need to serve as you would have us serve, and make us instruments of your peace. Amen. Our Old Testament reading today is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading, epistle is a letter, letters written from the New Testament, from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 15. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. I invite you to stand to honor the words of Jesus. Words of Jesus found in the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And he says to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he says to them, "What things?" And they say to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened." And he says to them, "Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please take a seat. And now we have Allison Carr, children's minister, coming up. She's going to explain to us a little bit more how our renewing God helps us refocus in the midst of sadness, darkness, but all things in life. Allison.
Good morning, everyone. All right. Well, believe it or not, we are less than 100 days from Christmas. Now, some stores already have decorations out. Hobby Lobby is offender number one every year. They start at, like, June, which is fine. That's great. I personally am a big advocate of 24-hour Christmas music beginning November 1st. I am. I know Thanksgiving's in there, and I love Thanksgiving. My son was born on Thanksgiving last year, so I like Thanksgiving, but I love Christmas. And what's one thing that kids probably anticipate the most about Christmas? Gifts. So I brought a gift with me today, and we'll get back to him. But during biblical times, many people were also anticipating Christmas, but not for gifts under a tree, rather the greatest gift of all time, a Savior. So we know we have also the gift of God's Word, and we know our Bibles have two parts. They have two testaments, the New Testament and the Old Testament. And we know Jesus is in the New Testament because we have stories about his life, his death, his teachings, his resurrection. So we know Jesus is there. And sometimes we kind of skip over some of the good stuff in the Old Testament because we want to get to the really good stories about Jesus. But if we look closely, Jesus is all over the Old Testament as well. Old Testament is filled with prophecies. Now, prophecies are kind of like clues or hints about God's master plan. Now, one of those prophecies we read today from our Old Testament reading, "For unto us a child is born." And then it goes on to tell us several names of Jesus, right? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's all about Jesus, but it's from the Old Testament. And so during biblical times, the whole Bible wasn't compiled yet. They only had some of the first texts of the Old Testament. But in there, they read all these prophecies about this Savior who was coming to redeem the world, to come to be our Savior. In fact, there are more than 90 prophecies that are from the Old Testament that are quoted in the New Testament that Jesus fulfilled. Not one, not 10, 90. God had a plan. God had a gift in mind. In fact, even more than that is that there are hundreds of years from the time the Old Testament was written to when the New Testament, when Jesus happened, there are hundreds of years between those times. Can you imagine waiting hundreds of years for Christmas? Well, they did. And Christmas happened and Jesus came. God sent us the greatest Christmas gift of all time. I like this box. I actually got this from Christmas 2 years ago. I held on to it because it has a nativity scene on it, right? God sent us the greatest gift. And someday we're going to get to be with him again in heaven. And until then, we have the gift of his Holy Spirit, living within our hearts, and we have the gift of His Word. And it's in His Word that we can reflect, we can learn about God's amazing plan that He set forth for us, and that we can spend time with the greatest Christmas present ever, Jesus. Will you guys pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for a chance to reflect and look at Your Word and see the plan that You set out long before any of us were here. But You are faithful and You keep Your promises. Help us to always look to You and focus not on the gifts of Christmas, but the gift, Your Son, as we continue to love Him and hopefully share Him with the whole world. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Please bow your heads and pray with me. Father God, once again, in a moment like this, I'm reminded of Your Word and Your Word that teaches us to pray in a moment like this. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, may they be pleasing to You, for You are our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. So it was in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And so all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came forth for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel of the Lord said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in the manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." Christmas. Christmas, it seems today in this moment that Christmas is coming early. Why not, right? Why not? We are called to refocus, to keep our eyes on Jesus. This is where we're going to be for this whole ministry year together. This is where we're going to be for the next 9 weeks. We're focusing in on Jesus, and certainly Christmas is all about Jesus, and we're all about Jesus. And this week, as we continue to refocus in on Jesus, we're being called to reflect, to consider, to think deeply about things of the past. What we're going to do in this moment is to look at the biblical history that led to the birth of Jesus. That led to the birth of Jesus. And so we do this through what we've called the Old Testament, what we call the Hebrew Scriptures. This is the Hebrew Scriptures, 39 books that we have, over 4,000 plus years of history recorded for us, centered in on a people group called the Hebrews. 39 books, right? 17 historical books, 17 prophetical books that speak into the historical timeline, and then 5 wisdom books that speak life, words of life, wisdom. I love our gospel reading for so many reasons. First of all, today we're not just focusing on Christmas, but we are reminded of Easter. Why not, right? Luke 24, right? Jesus, the day that he rose again from the dead after he was crucified, all of a sudden we find him walking on the road with some of his disciples, and they don't recognize him. In Luke 24, right, it says, beginning with Moses, right, those first 5 books of the Hebrew Scriptures, the Torah, beginning with Moses and then all the prophets, it says, Jesus interpreted to them in the Scriptures all the things concerning himself. Right, to be on that road with Jesus as he'd open up those 39 books. Right, his Bible, if you will. Right, not just his Bible in the fact that, yes, he grew up as fully God, fully man, but knew those Scriptures, studied those Scriptures, meditated on those Scriptures. In fact, as we see him do his public ministry years later after Christmas, what's he doing? He's opening up the Hebrew Scriptures and teaching them. And in this moment in Luke 24, the Scriptures actually tell us that the hearts of the disciples were burning within them as he opened up the Hebrew Scriptures, pointing to himself, because it wasn't just his Bible and that he knew it. It was his Bible, and that certainly the Word of God wrote it. That's him through men and women. But it's his Bible, and that it actually shows us him. Him. It's all about Jesus. I love our epistle reading, our New Testament reading from Timothy. Right, Paul's writing to young Timothy in his second letter, and he tells Timothy, from childhood, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. Not the 4 gospel accounts, these 4 sermons, but the sacred writings, the Hebrew Scripture, these 39 books. Timothy, you've known these, you were taught these, and get this, these Hebrew Scriptures were able and are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And there's another Scripture I love when I think about and I have a chance to reflect, to think deeply on all that led us to the birth of Jesus, all that led to Christmas. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Here's what Paul tells the church in Rome and what's been passed down to us about these Hebrew Scriptures. Whatever was written in former days, whatever, these 39 Hebrew Scriptures, was written for our instruction, right? For our good, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Hope. I don't know if you feel like you need a little hope, but we always need a little hope. And what reflecting does on these Scriptures, it causes us to hope because we're seeing Jesus. And certainly as we talk about Christmas, there's always hope when it comes to Christmas. And so what I want to do with us all this morning as we have an opportunity to reflect is actually reflect. Let's go to the Old Testament. Let's go to these Hebrew Scriptures. Let's listen to the voice of one of the prophets that God called to speak to his children, not just then, but to us still today. A man named Micah. He lived between 740 BC and 680 BC. This man of God was called to preach judgment, because God's children are not obeying themselves. God called them and they had a purpose to be a light in this world, and they were doing anything but that. They were just adding to the darkness. They were not seeking God first, and their lives were not reflecting that at all. There's judgment there. Or God, because he loves his children, he loves this whole world, and he had a plan, he needed to discipline them. He needed to call them to repentance. And there's also hope. There's a lot of hope, even within that. And so Micah writes, and he says this, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah," Bethlehem, right, the city of David, the least of these. Ephrathah, many of us who are familiar with the scriptures, wait, what is Ephrathah? Really, it is Utica, Michigan, in Macomb County. So Ephrathah is really the larger part that Bethlehem finds itself in, not just Judea, but Ephrathah, right? Who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, right? You are the least of these, Bethlehem. And Micah continues, "From you shall come forth for me one who is be the ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. The eternal one is going to come from you, Bethlehem. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth," until Christmas happens. "Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord, his God." We continue. "And they shall dwell securely. For now, he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace." I'm going to say this right now, and it might seem awkward because I realize it is September, it's not December, but Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Thank you for saying Merry Christmas back to me. But Merry Christmas, right? This is what we get to reflect on in this moment as we focus in on Jesus. And as we refocus, right, we do so by reflecting on these seven truths, these seven true statements about Jesus, the one that we are focused in on, the one who we have faith in, who gives hope and who gives love. And as we're called to think deeply, to reflect, I'm reminded of not just Hebrews chapter 12, which we focused in on last week, but Hebrews chapter 3. You know what Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1 says? Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Because what we all know is when you fix your thoughts on something, you begin to not just reflect into the past, but you begin to reflect what you're thinking. And also your actions change. Your life changes. So it's right for us to fix our thoughts on Jesus, to think deeply, to reflect. And so we hear what Micah said. What did Micah say? He said these seven truths about Jesus. The first truth is this, is that he is for the least of these. Not just born in the least of these in Bethlehem, right, a place of nobodies, and not just within a manger fit for livestock, but he was born for the least of these, not just from the least of these. And we know this about Jesus when we see this baby grow into a man. He's all about the least of these, all about the nobodies. And I don't know where you've been in your life and what's going on right now, but there's so often, so many times where it feels like we're nobodies, where nobody's paying attention to us, when we don't have anything compared to this person or over here, when it seems like they're getting everything and we're getting nothing. Right. We're the last one picked, where it seems that we don't really have a mission or a purpose, but everybody around us seems to have it, but us. What we see right away from Micah and in Christmas is that somebody says that we are not a nobody, and that somebody is Jesus, that somebody is our Creator, and he says, you are all somebodies. Right. He's come for the least of these. For those who are humble, not just the people here, because he loves all people, but the people here. So I don't know where you find yourself today, but I pray that you hear this gospel truth, this Christmas truth, right, that he has come for you, and you are not a nobody. You are a somebody created for a purpose, and he loves you. He loves you. I don't know what happens as we think deeply on this from your perspective, but from mine, you know what this calls me to? It calls me to a life of humility. Of humility. The second truth that we see here from Micah is that he is the Ancient of Days. Jesus is the Ancient of Days. It's Christmas truth, right? John in his gospel, in his sermon, what does he say about Christmas? The Word became flesh, the eternal Word of God, the one that was with God in the beginning because he is God and will always be God, became flesh. Right? Paul tells Titus, another great Christmas passage, the grace of God appeared. The eternal grace of God, the nature of God, showed itself in the person of Jesus. Right? The eternal God, and certainly when we think that Jesus is the Ancient of Days, right? We stand in awe, we kneel in awe. Right? There's the fear of the Lord that takes place because he is the eternal one. But when I think about the eternal one coming and being part of time, the one who is timeless, who stands out of time, I think about how he made the most of all of his opportunities, all of his days here on earth, and certainly God is making the most of his creation, of his time with us. I think as the first disciples thought when they reflected on this truth, we need to make the most of every opportunity. Right? Eternity is for real, and someday we will step into eternity, but right now we are in eternity, we are in time, and God is calling you and me. When he gives us an opportunity, make the most of it. Make the most of it. He is the Ancient of Days. This third truth that Micah speaks, this Christmas truth, is that he is standing for you. He will stand, right? Little baby Jesus, little Christmas Jesus, right? He's not just going to take his first step. But one day he is going to stand for you and for me. And we saw that one day when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane wrestling with what he knew he had to do, wrestling with taking a stand for us as he prayed to the Father, not my will, but your will. And we see him in discouragement, right, in fear. He moves forward in courage and in faith, trusting the Father, and he takes a stand and he goes to the cross for you and for me. And in that truth, knowing that he stood up for us and seeing what he does in those gospels time and time again, we know that he just didn't take a stand for us. He continues to stand for us. He has our backs. He does. And I don't know what that does for you as you reflect and think deeply on that. I can't help but have courage. Knowing that he took a stand for me, he's standing for me, and I too will walk forward and I will stand. Right, Ezekiel, another great prophet, right, he said, I'm looking for one to stand for my people. You know what he was talking about? Who he was longing for? Jesus. Jesus, the one who took a stand for us and is standing for us. Right? Not only is he for the least of these, not only is he the Ancient of Days, not only is he the one standing for you, Micah also says this great Christmas truth that he is the good shepherd. Right? He is the shepherd. The good shepherd, and certainly Christmas, right? We see the shepherds, we see the least of these, but certainly there's a little echo of the truth that Jesus is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd, what does Jesus say as he declares that truth in John, which we're going to get into in a couple weeks as we see the identity of Jesus unfold? Right? The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He makes the move, the sacrificial move for his sheep, and we know that's what he's done for us. And as I reflect on the good shepherd and what he's done for us, I can't help but also hear the words of Jesus where he says, my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. May we listen. May we listen to his words. Thank you, God, that you have spoken that we don't need to wonder what you think. We know what you think. We have your word. You are the good shepherd. The fifth Christmas truth that Micah shares with us that we're reflecting on is that his name is Jesus, right? He is going to stand in the name. He's going to have the name of God on him. And that name is Jesus. The Christmas account unfolds. We see Joseph wrestling with what's taking place with Mary, right? Is this true or isn't this true? I was going to marry this girl and now she's pregnant and she's saying that this son is a son of God. Somehow this happened. And then God shows up in a dream to Joseph, sends an angel to Joseph, and Joseph in this dream hears the voice of God saying, Joseph, this is true, and you are going to name this boy Jesus. And why is his name Jesus? Because he's going to save his people from their sins. Right? His name is Jesus. And we already had a time to confess. We had a time to receive forgiveness. We're going to have another time. Right? Because this is the gospel. This is the good news. Right? This is the news that brings hope. There is forgiveness. And so may we continue to confess and receive, and not just confess and receive, may we continue to give it. Give it. Right? His name is Jesus, and his name is above every name. And at his name, every knee will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Right? Micah, right, preaches this word. Right? Christmas shows us this is the truth. His name is Jesus. The sixth Christmas truth for us is this. And Micah says, right, his people are going to be secure. His people are going to feel secure. They're going to be secure. They're going to be comforted. Right now in the Krupski house, we actually have 9 little golden retriever puppies. Right? If you've been on my Facebook page, you've seen videos. You can go to Jenny's Facebook page. You can see these videos. Right? Certainly puppies bring comfort. They bring security. And probably every day I just jump into the puppy cage and they just all jump on me. Right? And all of a sudden I'm just like, oh, right? All the stresses of life are gone. Right? But what's interesting as I think about security is not that. And again, we're thinking about Jesus right now. We're reflecting on Jesus, not puppies. But what's going to happen in a week when all these puppies go to their new homes, right? What we've done is we've actually given them a security blanket. Right? Right now they have a big blanket, and so their mom is all over that blanket. They're all over that blanket. And so what we'll do is we'll cut that blanket up into 9 little pieces, and guess what the puppies and the owners get to take home with them? A security blanket. A security blanket. A blanket that gives comfort. Right? And this is the Christmas truth. Right? God came to comfort us. Right? To truly show that he is with us in the pain and in the struggle, that he is sympathizing, empathizing, that he understands. He is our security. He is our security blanket. He is our comfort when we're hurting. This is what we know is true because Christmas happened. Jesus was born. And this last Christmas truth that Micah pushes us to, that we get to reflect on in this moment, is that he is our peace. He is our peace. Right? Isaiah prophesied that the Prince of Peace, right, of the increase of his government, right? Last week we ended with the zinger, right? Who is Lord of all? Who is the true King of Kings? Jesus, right? And of his government, there will be endless peace. Endless peace. Isaiah says later on in his prophecy, right? Those whose eyes are fixed on him will have perfect peace. Perfect peace, despite of the circumstances all around us. Right? And the Prince of Peace came and he showed us, and his first disciples understood this. Right, true peace comes in the intimate relationship that we have with the Father through prayer. Through prayer. Right? We're going to have a moment. Pastor Chris is going to lead us into a time of prayer. Right? In Philippians it says, right, with thanksgiving present all your requests, your fear, present that to God Almighty. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Right? He is our peace. I don't know what Christmas is going to be like this year. Right? We don't know. Our worship team, we're actually planning what Christmas Eve is going to look like here at Trinity and what Christmas Day is going to look like. We've been planning that, right? We can make our plans. Right? We don't know what Christmas is going to be like in 2020, but we do know this. Christmas happened. And because Christmas happened, right, we will enter into Christmas in the truth, right, that there is always hope. And Christmas just doesn't matter in December. Right? It does matter even in September. Right? The light pierced the darkness, and the darkness couldn't handle it, It can't handle it, and it will never handle it. The light has overcome, and that light has a name. And the light's name is Jesus. It is Jesus. So as we reflect, we refocus, moving forward together in faith, hope, in love. So I have one more thing to say, and it's this. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. So may we rise and may we proclaim our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed together.
Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I do invite you to take your seats. This time we celebrate this move in worship of how God has come to us, and he brings us peace, he brings us comfort, he brings us joy, he brings us faith, he brings us grace. And out of all the gifts God continues to give us, he moves us like those hearts of the disciples who were burning because Jesus was speaking and the author was inspiring them. God speaks to us now and he moves us to acts of faith, acts of worship, like an offering. We give back to God out of the abundance of everything he's given to us. We give a portion back to him. To honor him, to worship him, and for that same gospel that moves us to move others as well. So we receive our offering to God, and we turn our hearts to him. And if you haven't had an opportunity to give, just text the word Trinity to 797979 and make that worship move right now. And as you may be doing that, we invite you to make this move now with us as God invites us and calls us to call him Father, to call him God, to call him Savior as we pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for coming when no one expected it. No one was looking for it. Thank you for the faith you gave to Mary to believe, to Joseph to overcome his doubt and insecurities to believe, for how you worked your message and announced it to shepherds, people that everyone discounted. Thank you for bringing that message to those who were not from Israel, bringing them a great distance to worship you. Lord, thank you for coming this morning through your Spirit, through your word, through your servants, to make yourself known all over again, to refocus our hearts and our minds on you. Lord, there's so many things that distract us day to day, week to week, even moment to moment here in worship. Lord, thank you for how you help us reflect on that word. You help us to understand the truth of who you are and what you've done and the promises that you have yet to fulfill. But Lord, you give us the faith to believe that you will. You will be present in all our darknesses. You will be present with the light and comfort that we need. You will return and make all things new, better than they ever were. And Lord, you will forgive. Because, Lord, you have promised You've done it. You've earned all that we need to be remade as your sons and daughters. So Jesus, as your sons and daughters, as your family, and as you call us forward in faith, you fill us with hope. You teach us to love. God, bring healing and strength to Lori Boltesis, Chelsea Bemis, Lou Carpenter, Jim Dieters, Al Havers, Carolyn Johnston, Joe Marie, Mabel Lepler, James Malashunk, Elmer Meitzner, Tom Erlicky, Tom Reband, Marlene Reinhold, Kim Shepper, Ron Tsai, Kathy Visbara, Beth Wright. Lord God, thank you for how you kindle love in your creation, the love you give between neighbors, the love you give in families. Lord, for the engagement of Jessica Provo and Ben Kamizik. Also for the upcoming weddings for Katie Jessic and Brant Gigliotti. Also Sarah Charbonneau and TJ Miller. And God, for the 55 years you've already given to George and Judy. Lord, bless them in the next years to come. Bless these soon-to-be newlyweds and the recently engaged couple. Lord, watch over them, their relationship with each other. Lord, their faith in you. And for a husband and wife who have been through so much together, God, thank you for Liz and Larry Groupie. Please bring peace and comfort to Liz as she waits for you to take her home. And keep giving strength to Larry to believe, to hold on in faith, and to remain faithful as a caretaker for his beloved wife. God, thank you for those who are balancing, who are living in the tension of overwhelming tasks at work, at home, parenting, and marriage. Lord, bring them peace because you are the Prince of it. Bring healing and strength to everyone affected with COVID-19. For those of our members who are our family, our community, who are shut in, and those who are in independent and assisted living facilities, God, keep them healthy and strong. Keep their spirits up, consumed with your light and peace, and not to be distracted, depressed, or scared by what they are enduring. God, a similar prayer for our country, our government, doctors, nurses, medical staff, first responders, law enforcement, that their hearts and minds would be lifted up by you and your people as you work. Lord, for your church around the world and right here at Trinity, for pastors, staff, and the support teams as they do what they need to do during these challenging times. And for your body, Lord, again, around the world, but your church here at Trinity, that our family would grow together in faith and support for each other. And in that, we also mourn with those who mourn. For the family of Larry Archambault and the family of Paula Stinson, as they grieve these absences, but Lord, they celebrate the glory of your resurrection at work and the lives of those who are with you now. Comfort those who grieve and lead them on in the faith and the hope of your resurrection in this life. Jesus, for the baptisms coming up for Kennedy and Justin, for their families, godparents, and for us, Lord, we celebrate the new life you bring to us. Lord, we know you promise to hear our prayers. So for the prayers we have offered this morning, for those on our hearts, the names and situations on our long-term prayer list, our short-term prayer list, and all of it, Jesus, Lord, we, as you give us strength and power, we look to you. We refocus our hearts and our minds on you as you teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. continue on in this moment of worship where God meets with us, hearing our prayers, giving us his word, giving us his spirit, giving us his grace. He gives that all to us all over again in communion. And if you're not able to be with us on site, but you are joining us online, take this moment to continue on with us in worship. Even though you may not be receiving the elements, you are still receiving God's word because his spirit is living and active. His word is living and active and has power and forgiveness for you. And for those of you who are gathered on site, it's our desire that if you wish to commune, that you grab one of these cups on your way in. Does anyone still need a cup and like to commune today? If you would, just raise your hand. One of our usher team will come down and get you guys set up. All right. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, just before the moment in the garden, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he blessed it, and he gave it to them and said, "Take and drink, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of Christ be with you always. Take and eat the body of Christ for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. My brothers and sisters, you who are dearly loved, you are somebody to God, and not just somebody. You are the person who's God has numbered the very hairs on your head. He knows the length of your days, and as he gives you opportunity, may you seize that opportunity to help others know him, knowing that you have been forgiven, that Jesus has met you here and given you all you need to follow him in faith, hope, and love. After receiving these blessings from God, let's lift up our hearts once again with song, with faith, singing the words of the next hymn. let me try that again. On your way out, if you have not received one of those refocused devotionals written by our staff here at Trinity, it's a great devotional. Pastor Justin has a great devotion for today about weeding. And so I do invite you to pick one of those up, or you can check out our website. There's a link if you want a digital copy. And after you've received everything God has given you today, go out into the world to bring peace and joy. Have courage. Share the good news with everyone. Stop at nothing to bring God in Jesus Christ to others. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
Amen.